with your heart cleansed by properly carrying out my commands, resigning to me the fruits of all your acts, you will finally attain to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hear the words Tirtha Kritesha Kriyartha are significant. Tirtha means a sanctified place where charity is given. People used to go to places of pilgrimage and give munificently in charity. This system is still current. Therefore the Lord says, quote, in order to sanctify your activities and the results of your actions, you will offer everything unto me. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, the result should be given to me only. In another place in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices, all penances, and everything done for the welfare of mankind or society. All activities, therefore, whether for the welfare of family, society, country, or humanity at large, must be performed in Krishna consciousness. That is the instruction given by the Lord to Kardama Muni. Maharaj Yudhishthir welcomed Narada Muni. Wherever you are present, that place becomes sanctified because the Lord Himself is always seated in your heart. Similarly, if we act in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Lord and His representative, then everything is sanctified. This is the indication given to Kardama Muni, who acted on it and therefore received the most excellent wife and child, as will be disclosed in later verses. Om Jnanam Niran Asya Jnanam Janashanakaya Chakshu Nundunitam Jena Tatmai Shri Guravena Shri Chaitanya Mano Nishtham Sthapitam Yulavnitare Swayam Rupa Kadamaitam Dadahu Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Jitapadu Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamshya Shri Rupam Shadra Yatam Shahagana Raghunathanitam Swam Shadivam Shadvaitam Shabhututam Puriyana Shaditam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhan Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Vansha Kalpa Tulukharsha Kripa Sindhu Bhairi Vacha Patitanam Pavanekho Vaishnavekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasi Bodha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama So humbly begging the mercy of the Senior exalted devotees, and I try to elaborate the purport that Srila Prabhupada given here to this verse. I repeatedly beg the mercy of the exalted Sannyasis and Vaishnavas. It is by the blessings of the spiritual master and the pure devotees of the Lord one can recite the glory of the Supreme Personality of God. So here Srila Prabhupada explains that the best way to purify ourselves is through rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolutely pure, and whenever one comes in contact with that absolute pure, he becomes purified. Therefore, the best way to become purified is just by coming in contact with the Supreme Lord. Just as coming in contact with fire, an object, develops the qualities of fire. Similarly, by coming in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one develops the qualities of the Supreme Personality. As a matter of fact, every living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God. And being a part and parcel of the Lord, everyone naturally has the qualities of the Lord. Everyone is endowed with all the qualities of the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna. But unfortunately, when a living entity becomes isolated from the Supreme Lord, then he becomes contaminated. In his sarup, in his original identity, a living entity is all pure. Living entity is also endowed with the qualities of the Lord, which has been classified in three major classifications as sat, chit, and anand. Sat means eternal, chit is conscious, and ananda means blissful. So Krishna is the supreme Satchidananda Vigraha. Ishvara Param Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Krishna is the supreme eternity, knowledge and bliss. His form is of eternity, knowledge and bliss. And being a part and parcel of Krishna, every living entity also is Satchidananda mind. But unfortunately, when a living entity becomes isolated from Krishna, when a living entity projects his consciousness away from Krishna, then his consciousness is projected onto the external energy of Krishna. And that external energy of Krishna is called Maya. And the cause of his turning his vision, Jaya Shri Radha Madhava, Jaya Shri Shakti Prindati, Jaya Shriman Mahaprabhu. The cause of a living entity's aversion to Krishna has been described as Bhogavancha. Krishna Gohir Mukhaya Bhogavancha Kari Nikatastha Maya Tari Japatiya. As soon as a living entity turns away from Krishna, Krishna Bohir Mukhaya, as soon as he turns his vision away from Krishna or he projects consciousness away from Krishna, then he becomes Bohir Mukh. Bohir Mukh means his consciousness is then projected externally. Dhavato Bohi Monorakti Nashati Dhavato. Dhavato means to be projected or to run towards. And Bohi means outward, external. So when a living entity looks away from Krishna, then his consciousness is projected onto the external energy or Maya of Krishna. And Nikatastha Maya is actually very close to Krishna. It is not that there is a big difference between the world of Maya and the world of Krishna. Or Krishna is not so far away from Maya. Maya is very close by. Nikatastha Maya, tare japodiya tare, immediately grasps. So in a very simple way, Here it has been described how a living entity becomes conditioned. And the cause of his conditioning, cause of his entanglement in the material nature, is his becoming un-Krishna conscious due to his projection of his consciousness away from Krishna. And as soon as one becomes entangled in Maya, he becomes caught up in an endless bondage. Srila Prabhupada once described the karmic reaction. He was actually taking prasad, and that day I made some prune chutney for Prabhupada. And after taking the prune, Prabhupada just held that seed of the prune in his fingers, and he said, "In this seed there is a tree. Inside this seed there is a tree. And in this tree, in this seed, or rather in that tree, there are innumerable fruits. And in every single fruit there is a seed. And in that seed there is a tree. And in that tree there are innumerable fruits. And in those trees there are innumerable trees." And then he explained that this is what karma means. Like, it takes only just one karma, just one action away from Krishna, and that becomes the cause of our eternal bondage. So one action away from Krishna, one action which is non-devotional, and any action, just one action which is performed for the sake of our own self-gratification or bhogavanta, can bound us, or rather can bind us in an eternal bondage. Now, we have somehow or other fallen into this material entanglement. We have become bound. We have, for somehow, we looked away from Krishna and projected our consciousness towards Krishna's external energy. And that external energy has bound us in this incredible bondage. Now what's to be done? Yes, although the bondage is very, very severe and it is practically impossible to surmount, impossible to free ourselves, but Krishna, the supreme powerful, supreme personality of Godhead, has made a way to deliver us from this material. And that is called devotion. Doivijisha gunamoyi mamo maya durasna. A living entity is bound by Krishna's maya. And this maya is impossible to surmount. But although it is impossible to surmount, but Krishna makes it very, very easy for us. And that is Mame Bhaje Prapadyante. Whoever surrenders unto me, whoever surrenders unto Krishna, becomes immediately free from that bondage. So, and that process is called devotion. So although in one hand this material bondage is very, very difficult to overcome, but the process, if we follow the bona fide process, then we can very easily become free from this bondage. In one hand it is impossible to overcome, but at the same time it is very easy. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is reminding us time and time again. That is what the disciplic succession, Vaishnava disciplic succession, reminds the members of that school time and time again, from time immemorial, and that is the instruction that a bona fide spiritual master gives. The bona fide spiritual master has only one business, and that is to free his disciples from the bondage of the material. And this is such an easy process that anyone and everyone can take advantage of it and become free from this material bondage. So here we are seeing that the process has been again described and reminding us how to become free from this material bondage. That Tirthi Kritashesha Kriyartha. Tirthi means a sanctified place where charity is given. People used to go to places of pilgrimage and give munificently in charity. This system is still current. Now, in the Upanishads, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, it has been described that in the beginning of the creation, the Lord gave three instructions to three types of living entities: demigods, human beings, and demons. The instruction to the demigods was, give in charity, dasa. To the human beings, the instruction was dayatha, that is, show your mercy unto others. And the instruction to the demon was dammeta, that is, control your senses. The demigods are situated in a position where they are supposed to take care of the universal affairs. They are the departmental head of different departments in the universe. Therefore, their business is to give in charity, provide the facilities for different living entities. The instruction to the human being was that bestow your mercy, do not become selfish, do not try to acquire everything for yourself, be merciful unto others. And to the demons who do not know how to control their senses, the instruction was given that you try to control your senses. Now of these three instructions, giving in charity is most important. Now that is of course a material consideration. Material consideration in the sense, this instruction was given for a proper existence, peaceful existence in the material nature and make spiritual advancement to some extent. But the final consideration of spiritual advancement is to offer everything to Krishna. In this material nature, a living entity wants to enjoy. Therefore, in the scriptures, the initial instruction is how to enjoy in a bona fide way. And that is the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. In the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, the instructions are given to the living entities how they should enjoy in this material nature. Because initially, every living entity wants to enjoy. But then, a living entity comes to his senses and realizes that there is no enjoyment in this material nature. All his endeavor to enjoy ultimately becomes futile. Therefore, an intelligent person decides not to try to enjoy in this material. So that is called Nivritti Marga. So Pravritti Marga, or the way of, or the process, or the path of getting involved. And this Pravritti Marga has two ways of becoming involved. One is Shat Pravritti and the other is Ashat Pravritti. Shat Pravritti is the bona fide involvement and the Ashat Pravritti is unbona fide involvement. Due to unbona fide involvement, one suffers very, very intensely because this unbona fide involvement produces sin. But bona fide involvement produces piety, and this gives some enjoyment in the material. But in the ultimate issue, there is no enjoyment in the material. Therefore, a living entity, when he comes to his senses, then he aspires for his vrittima, cessation. These involvements are painful, therefore cease to become involved in this material. And that nivritti marga is jnana kanda. But even nivritti marga, this cessation, is also not the ultimate objective. There is something beyond that. By not being involved in mundane activities, by not committing in an unbona fide, by not acting in an unbona fide way, we may become free from suffering. But freedom from suffering is not the ultimate goal, is not the ultimate objective of a living entity. The ultimate objective of a living entity is ananda or joy. So cessation of pain is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to become joyful. Now nivritti marga cannot actually give enjoyment either. Therefore, the ultimate goal of a human being or every living entity is to become involved in spiritual activities. Material activities are bad, so material activities must be stopped. And that is the nivritti marga. But a living entity is active. Living entity is conscious, a living entity is animate. So action must be there, but the living entity must know what is the proper action. And the proper action is action for the sake of pleasing Krishna. And that is called devotional service. So the ultimate goal of a living entity is to become engaged in devotional service to Krishna. And this devotional service begins from the platform of prapatti or surrender, sharanagati. Unless and until a living entity becomes surrendered to Krishna, he cannot become a devotee of Krishna. A devotee means one who has become completely surrendered to Krishna. And then, being surrendered to Krishna and his representative, when he becomes engaged in pleasing Krishna through his activity, that is called devotional service. And that devotional service frees one from, not only frees one from his material bondage, but situates him in a world of joy. And that is the final instruction of the Vedas. The Vedic scriptures have different branches. The Vedas, and then there are Puranas, Upanishads, Itihas, Jaya, Shishiravani, Adarishinam. So all these different angas or different sections of the Vedic literature are actually giving only one instruction, and that is surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. But all living entities are not qualified, or all living entities are not able to surrender unto Krishna completely. Therefore, these different other instructions have been given. This process, this aspect has been very beautifully explained by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatam. Towards the beginning, he is explaining that there are two types of liberation. One is called Prama Mukti and the other is Sadhya Mukti. Brahma-mukti means gradual liberation. And Saddha-mukti means instant liberation. And there he explains that how by following other processes other than pure devotional service, one gradually elevates to higher and higher platforms. And then finally, no one knows when, maybe after millions of lifetimes, one becomes free from the material world. Krama-mukti, gradual liberation. But Saddha-mukti is instant liberation, and this Saddha-mukti is attained by pure devotional service. When one becomes engaged in pure devotional service, without any desire for personal self-gratification, without any personal motivation, without any selfish motivation, then he becomes eligible to become free from material bondage instantly. Instantly means right after he gives up this body, he will be elevated to the spiritual path. That is, he doesn't have to gradually grow from heavenly planets, then Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Sattaloka, and then other further areas of this universe, the layers of earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, etc. And a pure devotee doesn't have to go through that gradual process. Wherever he is situated, in that situation, if he becomes a pure devotee, if he can become completely free from any material desire, any selfish desire, become 100% surrendered to Krishna, become 100% pure in his devotion to Krishna, then as soon as he gives up his body, he will be elevated to the spiritual path. And the process is, or the means is, Shuddha Bhakti. The Shuddha Bhakti again has two different aspects, Sadhana Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti again has two aspects, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. But the goal of that is, goal of Sadhana Bhakti is Prema. Prema Kumar So Mahan. The ultimate goal of life is to receive that strength. And the means, the basic requirement for that prema or love is lolam matram mullam ekalam. Lolam means grief. When you develop that grief for Krishna, that is, then we become eligible to develop prema. But when we have many, many anarthas, when we haven't developed a spontaneous love for Krishna, then we must practice the process of devotional service, which has nine angas: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Adushivanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Shakham, Dasyam, Atmanivedanam. So this Navada Bhakti, this ninefold devotional service, is the process to develop a spontaneous love for Krishna. So it's a very scientific process, and at the same time it's a very easy process. Devotion is actually very, very easy. The other process is very difficult. Yoga, process of yoga, process of sacrifice, process of archan, or worshipping the deity in the temple. All these processes are more or less difficult. Some cases they are very, very difficult and practically impossible to perform. But bhakti is very easy. That also has been described. Why devotional service is so easy? Because it is swabhavik. It is our natural situation. Swabhav means nature. And swabhaviki means natural. So it is natural. Devotion is natural to us. Unfortunately, due to our desire for material enjoyment, due to our desire for sense gratification, we find it difficult in the initial stage. But when the anarthas are eradicated considerably, even if it is not fully eradicated, but if the anarthas are considerably removed, then one automatically develops that taste for Krishna, or automatically develops a love for Krishna. Therefore, in sadhana bhakti stage, in vaidhi bhakti stage, we try to get rid of anarthana. We perform vaidhi bhakti up to the stage. Of anarthana. We perform vaidhi bhakti up to the stage of bhajana, in the stage of bhajana kriya, to become free from our anarthas. But when the anarthas become eradicated, then we develop the steadiness, nishtha. And this nishtha, when it becomes steady, it is not a force, it is a spontaneous steadiness. In the vaidhi bhakti stage, we try to force ourselves to become steady. But in the nishtha stage, the steadiness comes automatically. We automatically become steady. Because we get some shape, we like to do the thing that has been prescribed by our Sri Sharma. And then, gradually we develop a taste, ruchi. Actually, Krishna consciousness, the love for Krishna, has a very sweet taste. It is the sweetest of all tastes that we know. Rupa Goswami is describing, then why don't we get the taste? In Bhakti Rasamrita, in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada is explaining, why we do not get the taste? Because our condition is diseased condition. Like a person who gets jaundiced, although sugar is sweet, he cannot taste the sweetness of sugar. Instead, to him, sugar appears to be bitter. Similarly, we are suffering from a sort of jaundice, where Krishna consciousness, which is madhuram, madhuram, which is sweeter than the sweetest, appears to be bitter. We do not like to become, we do not want to become engaged in serving Krishna. So this is a very, very unfortunate state. But when we follow the process of devotional service, then we automatically become free from the disease, and then we begin to get the taste. And the taste is that this taste will force us, will push us to become more and more attached. And this is the ultimate culmination of all yoga. Yoga means to become connected, to become linked up. So the ultimate goal is to become linked up with Krishna. Krishna is Anandamaya, and when you become connected to Krishna, then we also become Anandamaya. Now how to become linked up to Krishna? According to living entities, conditioning, different processes have been prescribed. But ultimate consideration is to become connected to Krishna. There cannot be any yoga without the motivation, without the objective of becoming connected to Krishna. And ultimate consideration, the ultimate culmination is the pure devotion which causes the link with Krishna in a permanent way, and due to that link a living entity becomes free from its material contamination and becomes completely purified. And that is our goal, that is what Srila Prabhupada has given us, and that is what we are expected to promote, that is what we are expected to distribute to everyone around us. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, following the footsteps and instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, made this most wonderful arrangement of distribution of Krishna consciousness all over the world. And all the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the Vedas have been given by Srila Prabhupada in the form of this book. And our main objective is actually not to become free from material bondage ourselves, but our main objective in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to free others from material. Yeah, this is one important aspect of Mahaprabhu's movement. In this movement, the followers do not care so much for their own liberation, but they care for others' liberation. But the wonderful aspect of this process is, while one is trying to liberate others from their material bondage, he automatically becomes free from his material. Therefore, this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been described as Mahavadanya, the most beautiful mercy. That's why the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is called Audajya, or magnanimous gift to the living entity. Mahaprabhu came to distribute love of Krishna. But while distributing, he himself was in charge. So Srila Prabhupada designed ISKCON for the sake of distributing Krishna consciousness. And in this distribution arrangement, Srila Prabhupada's most wonderful, or in this distribution process, Srila Prabhupada's most wonderful arrangement is his book with Bhaktivedanta Swarupam. And if we just distribute Srila Prabhupada's mercy in the form of his book, then the whole world will become delivered. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness will flourish. Millions of devotees will come to join this movement, and we all can become blissful. Often I see that many temples are struggling, and main struggle is actually lack of men. And if we go to the root of it, then we see that the root of that problem is our lack of preaching spirit and lack of book distribution spirit. Prabhupada actually says, like if we distribute, Prabhupada said, if we preach, then there won't be any scarcity for us. There won't be any scarcity. Which Prabhupada said, if just preach and money will come. But if we stop preaching and try to make money by other means other than book distribution, then inevitably we end up in financial crisis. But if we distribute books, then money comes. Srila Prabhupada actually made such a wonderful arrangement for book distribution that if we just distribute books, money will automatically come. Prabhupada didn't want us to give the books free. Prabhupada wanted us to sell the books. And that also with a certain markup over and above the DVD cost. And when you sell the books, then automatically money comes. More books you distribute, more money comes. So there won't be any financial difficulty if we distribute books. And then when the books go out, people will read the books. And when they read the book, then automatically they will become interested to join the movement. If we look back, we can consider how we joined the movement. How many of you joined the movement by reading Srila Prabhupada's books? Please raise your hand. So you can see most of us actually joined by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, just make a simple consideration. If someone reads Prabhupada's book, what will happen to him? If somebody just reads Prabhupada's book, what will happen to him? He will feel the same way as we did after reading Srila Prabhupada's book. He will feel this is the thing that we should do. This is the most important business that we have, and he will automatically become inspired to join the movement. So in this way we can see that if we just distribute Srila Prabhupada's book, then money will come and devotees will come. And when the devotees come, what do we do with them? We send them out to distribute books. That means more money will come and more books will go out and more devotees will come. So it's the most sublime process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Actually, a disciple's business is to blindly follow the instructions of the scripture. And I say blindly with a capital B. A devotee must follow the instructions of the spiritual master without any other consideration. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one must become a fool in front of the spiritual master. That means he should not think, he should not make any other consideration. He should just accept the instruction of the spiritual master to his heart and just act accordingly. Guru mukha patma vakya chitte te kodiya oikho ar na kodi kamuniya. Just accept the instructions of your spiritual master within your heart. And don't desire anything else. Don't consider anything else. Don't worry about it. Now, what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do? He wanted us to distribute his books. He wanted us to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we must take up this mission of Srila Prabhupada. If we just follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions and carry on, then our life will become successful. And as a result of that, Krishna consciousness will spread and the whole world will become delivered and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be very free. So the root of our success is in following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And following Srila Prabhupada's instructions means spread Krishna consciousness. And in the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, the basis is the books. The books are the basis. And our purity is the force. And what is our purity? Purity is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master without any hesitation, without any other concern. It is due to our impurities that we cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. But the more we become purified, the more we become fixed up in abiding by the instructions of our spiritual master. And actually we don't have to go very far. We can see in today's world where Krishna consciousness flourishes most successfully. I don't want to embarrass Harikesh Maharaj, but it's in Harikesh Maharaj's zone. And what is the reason? Why is it flourishing so wonderfully? Because Harikesh Maharaj just stuck to Srila Prabhupada's instructions and never deviated from them. He just accepted book distribution, his life and soul, and he just stuck to it. And as a result of that, although in the beginning he faced with a lot of difficulties, it was not easy for him when Harikesh Maharaj became the GDC of Germany. It was extremely difficult for him to, what to speak of distributing books, I mean even to do anything there was very, very difficult. Because due to past mismanagement, it was completely impossible to do anything, especially in Germany. But today it's one of the most wonderful book distribution in his own. And how did it happen? Because he insisted on that point. Like, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. So following Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna Maharaj's footsteps, let us also take up that mission of distributing books, distributing books, and distributing books. And then everything will be, everything will happen. Krishna will give us everything we need. And we will become successful. Hare Krishna. All glory. Any comments? Maharajas? Is there any question or comment? Yes. Mainly because, yeah, okay, I'll repeat the question. So here we can see that that this process of Krishna consciousness has been given as the ultimate process of attaining our spiritual perfection. Now why this process was not given in the beginning of creation? The answer is, because in the beginning of creation, in Satya Yuga, people were extremely qualified. They were very, very qualified. And they were very close to the spiritual realm. Therefore, by following that process of meditation, meditating for thousands of years and so on and so forth, but it's actually a relative consideration. Like according to us, thousands of years may be a very, very long period of time. But to them, it was just very easy thing to do. And as a result of that, they could see the Supreme Lord within the core of their heart. And directly, after perceiving the Lord in the heart, they could develop their relationship with Him. And they used to, after perceiving Him within the core of their heart, they used to develop devotional mood or attitude towards Him, and devotional service towards Him. So it's a matter of eligibility. Like for example, when someone is in university, the test that he faces may appear to be very tough, very difficult for a junior school or say even a high school student. But when university student, it's easy because he has prepared himself. So similarly, in those ages, they were eligible to make that spiritual progress by following those processes. Meditation, sacrifice, and worship. But in this age, people became so disqualified. They lost any qualification. They became completely disqualified. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us the truth of the principle. Because we are completely useless, Mahaprabhu's mercy became most unique, most magnificent. Now, another consideration is that the age of Kali has, this is the special benefit of the age of Kali. Although Kali, the age of Kali, this age, is very, very degraded, but this has one great benefit. That benediction is, just by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can become free from his material bondage and develop his knowledge. So this is, in one hand, like, living entities in the age of Kali are very, very fallen, very, very unfallen. But on the other hand, they have very special good fortune of receiving the mercy of Krishna. Krishna's pastime has been described in the Vedas. But they were kept as a secret because it was not given to unqualified. Now another consideration is that there are two, as I mentioned, there are two ways of bhakti. Sadhana, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti. Now, Vaidhi Bhakti actually leads one to Vaikuntha, whereas Raga Bhakti leads one to Vrindavan. Now, we have to understand that in other ages, most of the people were destined to go to Vaikuntha. Very few were eligible to go to Vrindavan. Therefore, the prevalent practice was going to follow the rules and regulations. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy became manifest in the form of Raga Bhakti. And the goal of Raga Bhakti is goal of Vrindavan. Now, in other ages, people were not eligible, but in this age of Kali, just due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people have become eligible. Although they apparently, they're completely unqualified. And Raga Bhakti, spontaneous devotion service means by developing love, one becomes accepted. There is some happiness, but that happiness is like out of cessation of pain. Like one is suffering from a very painful disease, and as a result of that, he is suffering very much. Now, when the disease is cured, so he is not feeling the pain anymore, so there is a sort of relief. He feels some sort of a relief. But that relief, compared to the pain, is very happy state, right? But this is not ultimate state of happiness, because after he becomes cured, and then when he becomes healthy, then he becomes other activities where he starts feeling joy. Similarly, living entities who are suffering in the material nature, when the suffering is mitigated, then he experiences some happiness. That is called Brahma Sutra. To become situated in that state of neutrality where there is no more pain, there is some kind of enjoyment, some kind of happiness. But transcending that state of Brahma Sukha, there comes the spiritual involvement. That is devotional service. And that devotional service is a source of joy. And that's why Krishna is saying, Brahma is not the ultimate. I am superior to Brahma. Jnanis may think that Brahma is the end. But Krishna is telling to Bhagavad Gita that he is beyond the Brahma. Not only beyond Brahma, he is the source of Brahma, he is the origin of Brahma. So when one has transcended the Brahma Buddha platform, then he becomes involved in direct relationship with Brahma. And that is the source of Brahma. Meant for the people in other ages. In this age of Kali, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, that frame, although it is impossible to receive, became very easily available. So frame, although it is very rare, Prema Pumatsu Mahan, but that has become very easily available. It can be described like, you see, a poor man, a beggar in the street, he doesn't even have any means to even eat some food every day. Now he is, but at the same time, the king, he is very rich. And his treasury, there are priceless jewels. Now if the king wants, he can open his treasury, and with two hands, he can start to distribute all the wealth that he has in his treasury. Can he do that? And by taking that gain, a beggar in the street can become a rich man. Right? So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy has become. He is the King of Kings. He is the Supreme Personality of God. And oh, another consideration is there also. Now a king, naturally, in normal condition, a king won't do that. Right? A king will not go out and start giving out all the priceless gifts from his treasury. But if the king starts drinking alcohol and gets drunk, gets completely intoxicated, then he may do that. Because when one is drunk, then he loses his senses. Right? Now, that's what happened to the Supreme Personality of God. He became drunk in Krishna consciousness, in Radha Prema. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his drunken state, he is distributing the wealth. Can you repeat again? That Naam is synonymous to praise. The name of the Lord is synonymous to His love. Why? Because by chanting the name, one develops remembrance. Memory is awakened. And then, while chanting the name, one gets to see Krishna. And when he sees Krishna, he develops a direct relationship with Him. Because seeing Krishna is synonymous to falling in love with Him. Because whenever one sees Krishna, he immediately falls in love with Him. So therefore, Naam, the holy name of the Lord, and Krishna, love of Krishna are non-negotiable. Now, through this name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the praise. So, such a rare thing usually is not given up. For example, in other ages, an unqualified person was not allowed to study the Vedas, to read the Vedas. Now all this spiritual knowledge is attained in the Vedas or supplementary literatures to the Vedas. Now in other ages, one was not allowed to study the Vedas. Actually, Madhu Samhita gives the direction that if a non-Brahmana reads the Vedas, then more than late to be forced into his being. So it's a very heavy punishment. Now, what does it mean? Does it mean that the Madhu Samhita is propagating caste system? No. Brahmana means one who has been duly initiated. Brahmana doesn't mean who is born in a Brahmana family. One may be born in a Brahmana family, but unless and until he is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, he does not become qualified to reach the Vedas. So only through the direction of the spiritual master one should study the Vedas. Now, in other areas, this policy was followed very strictly. So one did not have any access to the Vedas. So what to speak of finding out from the Vedas, this very hidden secret. And the spiritual masters in the Tathagatic succession knew the rarity of Krishna Prem. Therefore, even though they may have Krishna Prem, but they would not give it unless the person is very, very one. Now, in order to give such a mass distribution, Krishna came, actually. Therefore, only he could give, no one else could, actually. And another thing, another important consideration here is that, you see, one can approach directly Krishna. One can directly approach Krishna. But then, he won't actually develop praying by directly approaching. One can, by directly approaching Krishna, one can at the most get Vaikuntha situation. But to develop the love of Vrindavan, one must approach Krishna through Srimad Radharani. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave this word, the process of approaching Krishna through Srimad Radharani. That's why only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could give, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu association. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that those who are worshippers of Vishnu, they are called Vaishnavas. Those who are worshippers of Krishna, they are called Prakashnas. But those who are worshippers of Srimati Radharani, they are called Gauri. Now what are we? We are Gauri. Therefore, we actually approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani. Not even through Srimati Radharani. Then we approach Srimati Radharani through Rupa Goswami. Therefore, we are Rupanuga Gauri. And we are approaching Rupa Goswami through Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, we are Prabhupada Rupanuga Gauri. And in this line, the farther you go, better it is. Just like in a telescope, more lenses you have, the more the vision gets enhanced. The lenses within the telescope does not